It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we've got a great show planned for you again today. Second segment, we will be talking with former state Senator Kevin Lundberg. And of course, he's the author of the Lundberg Report. And there was a Republican study committee that met yesterday to try to understand the impacts of Senate Bill 181, which was passed last year. You probably remember that in the election, in the prior election, the people of Colorado said that they did not want to shut down the development of oil and gas here in Colorado. And then guess what? When this new legislature got into session, they decided to pass Senate Bill 181. And in essence, it's really tapping down oil and gas development. We're seeing people leave. In fact, Halliburton out on the Western Slope reduced their job force significantly again. And so yesterday was a meeting to take a look at those impacts. So I can't wait to talk with Senator Lundberg about that. And segments 3 and 4, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. It looks like there's going to be a drumbeat this next session for single-payer health care or Medicare for All, whatever the name you want to have. And you may remember Dr. Jill Vecchio was one of the few individuals in the country that read the complete Unaffordable Care Act. And so she has a, you know, she has a deep understanding of what this really does. So I can't wait to talk with her as well. That'll be segment 3 and 4. So, Steve, it is Friday, your favorite day of the week.
Yes, and we're not even going to talk about 72 hours from now. So go go ahead.
Mr. Bah Humbug.
You know, I was just thinking, as you're teasing what's coming, Dr. Jill should get some kind of congressional award.
She should.
For reading that, how many pages?
Oh, 3,000? I think it was like 3,000 pages.
Yeah. And to comment on what Senator Kevin Lundberg is going to talk about, yesterday, as I was helping our guest Matthew Groves get into the studio, we had to take the long way around the building. That's another story. We talked about, in his subject matter with the freedom to drive thing, what this year has been like. And he kind of hinted or insinuated, he said, and from what we're hearing, 2020 is going to be even more fun. And I'm using air quotes on the word fun.
Well, and that is one of the reasons why on January 8th, be there or be square, we will have our Stand for Colorado rally, Stand for Colorado 2020. That is the first day of the legislative session. Now, my friends, I know that you will be working, you'll be taking care of your families. That's what you normally do. I apologize that it is going to be on a Wednesday, middle of the day, 11 o'clock, and it's in January. So you're going to have to put on your coat, your mittens, your muffler, and your hat, and you've got to show up. And because we need to let them know that we are watching them. If we don't show up, they're going to say, people aren't watching. So we need to take a stand. That's going to be Stand for Colorado rally. That it'll be on January 8th. So get that on your calendar because, Christmas is right around the corner, New Year's, and then, you know, we're in it. And so we have to be ready to fight, Steve.
I like the way you put that together in terms of what's coming in January. So it definitely will be a meeting of the truly committed for all those reasons that you just listed.
That's true. Although, you know, when Abraham Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address on November 19th, it was a cold and rainy day. And the gentleman that spoke before him, his speech was like long, like 2 hours or something like that. And people stood out in the rain and the cold to hear these speeches because they were involved in the process. You know, if you may say that you're not involved in politics, we have people that we know that say, I'm not involved in politics. But you know what? Politics is involved in you, and you can see just with these issues. We will be announcing our speakers probably this weekend, and it is an awesome lineup.
Yes. you might not be involved in politics, but politics is involved in you, and politics does have a hand in your pocket.
And that's why they don't want you to pay attention as they are picking your pocket. And as Maggie Thatcher said, in order to have political freedom, you have to have economic freedom. And if they're taking all of your money, you're not having economic freedom. And that is why one of the reasons why we are engaged in this battle of ideas, Steve. And we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you really shouldn't have to force people to do it. Right, Steve?
Yep. And you remind me of that daily. I'll be sitting on this side of the glass pondering something, and you were always quick to remind us, me, that's why we do what we do.
That's why we do this show. So thank you to you. Thank you to the team, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for your great support, your great work. And thank you to you listeners out there. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, soul, your mind, and body today. Go to my website, kimmunson.com. Sign up for my newsletter that goes out once a week, highlighting all of the great shows that we have planned for you. And I love hearing from you. My email is kim@kimmunson.com, and that's spelled MONSON.com. So, Steve, for our inspiration, I was Googling, you know, famous physicians, since we're going to have Dr. Jill on. And I found Sir William Osler. He was a Canadian physician and one of the four founding professors of Johns Hopkins Hospital. Or it must be Osler, created the first residency program for specialty training of physicians, and he was the first to bring medical students out of the lecture hall for bedside clinical training. What a great idea that is. Okay, he was born in 1849. He died in 1919. And this is what he said. He said, "The best preparation for tomorrow is to do today's work superbly well." So once again, the best preparation for tomorrow is to do today's work superbly well. I love that, Steve. You are one that strives for excellence. I think that quote, you live by that, and you didn't even probably know that quote was out there.
Well, okay, from that specific source, probably not. But I have also drilled myself into a big hole because of that striving for perfection thing. And even had somebody comment to me, you know, it's your quest for perfection that put us in this predicament. And I thought, well, okay, should I cease or what?
No, I think we should always strive for excellence, but we won't hit it all the time. But we prepare, we do our best, and all kinds of good things happen when we do that. And speaking of that, today is the final, actually, I think it's this weekend, to drop off a donation, a cash donation, for Hooters Restaurants and Little Richie's New York Pizzeria stores. Are again raising money for Realities for Children Charities as their Bikes for Tykes program. Realities for Children's Bikes for Tykes provides helmets and bicycles to local children who have been abused, neglected, or are at risk for abuse and neglect. And it's a great cause, and all of the money will go to help the kids. Hooters Restaurants is doing a big event up at their restaurant in Loveland tonight. And I'm go to their website, or you can go to my website, and we have a landing page there. I did drop a check off last night. You know, we have a Hooters restaurant that's close to us, Stephen, so I dropped a check off for that because I just think it's such a worthwhile charity that they are doing on that. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, as we're getting into January, of course, we've got our Stanford, Colorado rally on January 8th. And then Helen Raleigh, you know her. She's on the show on a regular basis. She writes for The Federalist. She grew up in China, and she is a fervent champion for capitalism and for the American idea. And she and Dr. Paul Prentiss have put together a lecture on the punches to knock down democratic socialism. And we're going to be having that Monday, January 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Water's Edge Winery. It's our salon series. It's a $20 cover charge, and then you just order whatever food and drink that you want. It was a standing room only workshop at the Western Conservative Summit, and so they've continued to finesse that, and that is going to be a great event. And so email me right now if you want to get on the RSVP list. I'm going to work on the Eventbrite this weekend, and we'll have that up and running by next week. We'll be talking with John Buckingham with Presidential Wealth Management at the bottom of the hour. And, I have a funny for you, Steve. I thought you may really like this. Did you look at it?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Our doctor's office called to let my husband know that the results from his blood test came back and he was just fine. And that didn't suit my husband. "What's my cholesterol level?" he asked. "Mr. Crocker, you are just fine, insisted the nurse. Still, I'd like you to mail me the results. A few days later, he received a postcard from the doctor's office, and it read, Mr. Crocker, you are just fine.
You know, I have been doing a dance. You know, I had a specific test done back in October, and I've been doing a dance with this particular medical organization to get the results. And this is almost what it was like.
When I saw that, I thought of you. I didn't know if you were going to comment on that or not, but it.
Well, I dare not name the organization.
No.
And all that kind of stuff, but it's. It's like, all right, you sent me this piece of paper, and it's written very high-level medical language. I think I can sort it out, but wouldn't you think I could get some assistance from a nurse practitioner or the doctor himself?
I thought of you. It just cracked me up. So well, anyway, yeah. That was for you. So.
Yeah, that hit home.
So a couple of things. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to my fabulous sponsors. And if you are interested, I've got room for a few sponsors here and there. And if you want to check out if we could possibly work together, you know, let me know. Because I'm an entrepreneur. I buy my airtime, and it gives me full journalistic control of what we put on. And I'm so grateful for that. And our sponsors are Karen Levine with REMAX Alliance, Jason McBride, John Buckingham with Presidential Wealth Management, Hooters Restaurants, Susan Kochevar with the Historic 88 Drive-In Theater, the Harris Family, Liberty Oilfield Services, Jay Davidson with First American State Bank, Lauren Levy, and he can answer all your mortgage questions with Polygon Fi, Water's Edge Winery, Liberty Toastmasters, Chris Cantwell, and Complete Colorado. It's an amazing list. I am so honored to get to work with these people, Steve.
Yep, I do too, because of you and the business relationship you have, I get the benefit from them because they're here in the studio, or we talk to them daily, and it's just a great rapport.
It is a great group of people. I know we're getting a little bit jammed up on time, so there is one headline that I want to mention before we go to break, and then we'll be talking with Senator Lundberg. But this is from Colorado Peak Politics, and the Dems block an audit of 9/11 funds paid to Hickenlooper's ethics lawyer. Now, Patty had found this. We had actually talked about this a while back, that there was some money, some federal funds that was given to the state of Colorado back in 2003. And it was after 9/11, and it was to get the economy going. And somehow, Steve, it appears that it's been sitting in an account for quite some time. It should have been invested in Colorado, but it's been sitting there. And guess what? Governor Hickenlooper has tapped that money. He's been using it for his legal fees on this ethics complaint. And it's astounding. But this is what's so amazing. Democrat state lawmakers just recently blocked the state auditor from investigating the inappropriate, possibly illegal use of federal 9/11 funds to pay former Governor John Hickenlooper's hefty legal bill in an ongoing ethics investigation. The bicameral Legislative Audit Committee defeated the proposal strictly along party lines, even though State Auditor Diane Ray was sitting right there and said she could easily add their inquiry into an already ongoing audit. Easy peasy, she said, we'd like to know anyway why the state was still holding on to money from a federal grant program that ended in 2003 and where all that extra money has been going. Now, you know what, Steve? They're always asking for more and more money from us, but yet there's money that's sitting around from 2003. So it's just as GOP lawmakers also want to know why Hickenlooper's lawyer, Mark Gruskin, was redacted from the so-called transparency database of state financials. But Democrats held fast that no audit for wrongdoing should be performed because those seeking the audit are Republicans, and the money was used to defend a Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. So they say it's just all political hogwash. Audit Committee Dems went so far as to insist it's beyond their powers to seek audits. Well, why do we elect them then? Oh, that's my editorial comment. Seriously, folks, we can't make this stuff up. Check out the explanation from State Senator Rhonda Fields of Aurora in Colorado Politics. Said to ask the auditor to invest a governor in reference to funds is seriously inappropriate. What? And that was from Rhonda Fields. She added, we're not the police, the FBI, or the Sheriff's Department. And she suggested the lawyers should investigate such matters. Steve, that's just absolutely amazing.
There's the, you know, a couple paragraphs up where it's used the phrase political hogwash, there's the political hogwash. I'm sorry, Ms. Fields. This is part of your job in terms of transparency. You shouldn't be running interference for anything like this.
Yeah, this is something that on both sides of the aisle, we want to make sure that we can trust our elected officials and that they're being transparent. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, I think we're going to be talking with Senator Lundberg. That was the plan. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Malakalikimaka is a thing to say.
Aww, I love that Christmas song. This is Kim Munson. It is the Kim Munson Show. It is the Christmas season. Merry Christmas to all of you. And I'm hoping that we're going to get to talk with Senator Lundberg. I know that he was very busy yesterday with this Republican Study Committee regarding the impacts of Senate Bill 181. As you know, that is the jobs-killing, economic-killing, or economy-killing bill that was passed this last legislative session. And so hopefully we're going to get to talk with him about that. Before we do that, though, you know, many times people say, I'm not into politics, but politics is into you. And ultimately, it may be death by a thousand cuts as we start to see these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, continue to push forward public policy that takes more and more from us, takes our freedoms and takes our money. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if it's a good idea, you don't have to force people. But ultimately, it takes a while, but you start to see the effects of this. And there was a recent piece in fee.org, that is the Foundation for Economic Education. And it says, why Kanye West is leaving California and taking Yeezy with him. Said rumors had swirled that Kanye West and his wife, Kim Kardashian, are giving up on California ever since it was reported that the rapper had purchased a $14 million monster ranch in Cody, Wyoming. And it's actually called that Monster Lake Ranch. The rumors intensified when it was revealed the couple, who have four children, are touring schools near the 4,500-acre property. Apparently, the power couple is not done, though. TMZ reports that Kanye West just closed on another ranch property near Cody, and this one has 6,700 acres and is valued at $14.5 million. The purchases appear to be related to West's label Yeezy. It's a billion-dollar apparel empire. West recently announced plans to move the company to Wyoming, and apparently it's not all talk. The headquarters of Yeezy, previously in Calabasas, California, has already been moved to Cody, population of just about 10,000, West said, and all manufacturing is slated to happen there eventually. Our goal in the next 2 years is to bring the manufacturing back to America, South America, and North America, said West, speaking at the 2019 Fast Company Innovation Festival earlier this month. During his interview, West made it clear he found California's "This is what you really want to hear." He found California's rigid regulatory structure stifling and a bit irritating. He shared a story about regulators telling him his Star Wars-inspired domes for the homeless, a project that West was experimenting with, were not up to code. One of the domes was 10 feet high, said West, and they came and said, you've got to take it down. West said he was fine with taking it down, but he was angry that officials informed the press about the action. 10 feet on my own 300-acre property, said West, and we could have handled it, but they wanted to go to the press and let everyone know that they were tearing down Kanye's domes. The episode apparently was enough to finally help convince West, an innovator who speaks glowingly about creativity and the virtue of competition, that California was not the place for his multi-billion dollar brand, and Yeezy is owned solely by West. Steve, what do you think about that?
Well, it's a classic. I mean, sometimes you're waiting for some kind of example of government overreach that just broaches the limits of, I don't know, what am I trying to say here? Responsible government, obviously, but they actually reached over into the ridiculous on this one.
You know, they really did. And see, the problem is the same thing can happen here. With this Senate Bill 181, I mean, they're using public policy to chase out the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry, I think I mentioned the other day that I was up on Monday night at our Tapas and Topics in Fort Collins, and my neighbor called, and she said, "Kim, our electricity is out." And I said, "Do you know when it's supposed to come back on?" It took a couple of hours. And when I talked with her, she said that their house was getting cold. They were just sitting there in the dark. And that is ultimately is what's going to happen if we don't have affordable and reliable and efficient energy. And I think that there's a bit of arrogance, both in California with their PBIs and here in Colorado with our PBIs. They think because they're beautiful states and people really want to live there, that they can just do whatever they want from a public policy standpoint. And quite frankly, those same kind of things could happen here, where we could shut down the economy on that. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention, if I can find. Patty does such a great job on all of these. We have so much information here. So I may just have to give you the headline. And that is, President Trump is actually making it tougher to get food stamps. He's going to be requiring more work in order to get food stamps. And, you know, Steve, you know, I think that is so important, because one of the most important things that one person can give to another is a job. And the idea that we just give somebody something just because, and when they're highly capable of actually working and earning something, I think it's detrimental to both the people that have to give via tax policy, so money taken away via force to give some to another person over here. And so the idea that President Trump is actually proposing something that's going to make it more difficult to get food stamps without working, I think, is a really great idea. Steve, what do you think?
Well, of all the things that have been coming down the line here in the last 3 years in terms of making some progress in this particular arena, I know he's already taken thousands of people off the food stamp rolls.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think that there's just this great dignity in work. I think I mentioned the other day that I remember the old Disney cartoons where work, industriousness was held up as something good. So the old, I think one of the first cartoons was Snow White, and she had the song, you know, "Whistle While You Work." And of course, when the dwarfs went off to work, it was "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." And, so there's something, there's a dignity in work. And having government forcibly take money from one person and then giving it to another, again, it's force. And so we talk about freedom versus force. Let's talk with John Buckingham right now. He's with Presidential Wealth Management, because Dr. Jill Vecchio will be our guest in segments 3 and 4. And as I mentioned, she is one of the few people in America that read the complete Unaffordable Care Act. And Obamacare has failed. We saw that they said that that our premiums would go down, that we'd have more health care. Well, guess what? Premiums went up. It's become unaffordable for people. But yet still there's this drumbeat. There's this drumbeat towards single-payer health care, Elizabeth Warren, Medicare for all. And John Buckingham is in the business of your own personal economy, but he watches all kinds of things. And I wanted to ask him, what does he think about the effects of single payer on the economy? So, John Buckingham, Presidential Wealth Management, what do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, good morning. And second, it's, when you're looking at any type of forced government intervention in terms of any type of market, you end up with just too much of the supply-demand issues affecting how the individual states, how the individual marketplaces run in terms of, you know, you take a look at Britain when they started implementing the national healthcare system there, you know, they're starting to start, they start to limit the individual procedures that you can do, just basic procedures like cataracts and stuff. They're starting to say, no, you can't do it. It's not worth our time to have these procedures done. You start to look at how wait times affect individuals, and just that alone, when you're going to a doctor and you have to spend 4 hours sitting there in the waiting area, you're ending up taking all that time out of the marketplace, out of what people are able to use their time for. And so just that economic impact of one tiny point of that is crushing their economy.
Good point.
And so just little things like that, you end up, you know, with a medical issue in terms of how many doctors, where you're getting your doctors from, where are they practicing their medicine at. And most of Britain's doctors go to other countries, you know, after they're trained. You're getting a situation where they have to import almost a third of their doctors from other countries. Most of them are poorer countries, bringing them in to practice in the UK because the doctors just don't want to deal with the system. So you're ending up with a situation where you're getting poorer care, and you also have a, you know, economic impact of the longer time frames of when you're in the offices. So I think that anytime you don't have competition, it reduces the quality of the service.
You know, you really have nailed it, John. Whenever government gets involved in these things, typically the price goes up, the quality goes down, and the supply becomes limited. It's just
exactly.
It's amazing.
And that's just it. And you basically are ingraining the, I don't want to go into this sector of the marketplace if I'm a student trying to figure out where I want to work, what I want to do. That's not where you want to go because you don't have any upside of, you know, performance. It's, you know, not going to pay you what you want to get paid based on how much you're putting into the educational side to get that MD. And, you know, that's just detrimental to the entire healthcare system.
You know, you nailed it there. I know a young millennial. It is that exact scenario. He wanted to be a doctor, and then he looked at the cost. He actually talked to a number of people in the medical field. He said, would you do this? They said no. And it's because of exactly what you said. So we're going to talk with Jill Vecchio here in just a minute, Dr. Jill Vecchio. But John, I cannot believe that it is December 13th. And typically, I don't really mean to be a procrastinator. It's just I'm taking care of this, then the next thing, the next thing. So anybody that thinks that they need to be taking care of some tax planning for the end of the year, this would be a really good time to reach out to you and your team over at Presidential Wealth Management. You've got a week there, then we get into Christmas. And I know you guys are all still going to be working there, but next week would be a really good week for people to sit down with you and do a discovery session.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, obviously somehow this year flew by and yeah, we're at the end again.
I know.
It seems to go faster every year, but yeah, it is absolutely a good time to take a look at tax strategies for the end of the year. Make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, that 2020 is set up to do what you wanted to do, and we can certainly help anyone out that wants to do that.
Well, I would highly recommend to do that. So Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. I teasingly say I give her phone number out every morning. It's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or you can go to airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. And then you guys have all these great podcasts and all kinds of information there. So John Buckingham, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio, she's an amazing woman. She read the whole Unaffordable Care Act, and we've got to talk about, and John actually kind of hit on it, some of the things that have been going on in the UK, but Jill predicted it, what would happen with Obamacare, and I can't wait to talk with her. So this is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. We'll have a conversation with Jill Vecchio when we come back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated 3 times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Feliz Navidad. Oh, I love all these Christmas songs. I love what Charlie has selected on this. I am so excited to talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is a good friend. She is also a real dynamic woman. She read the whole Unaffordable Care Act, if you can believe it. And some of the things that she was so concerned about, we saw them play out. And we now have this continued push towards single-payer health care. So we thought, let's get Jill on. Let's get out in front of this. So, Dr. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. Single-payer health care. Obamacare was trying to move towards single-payer health care. You know it's not a good idea, but, man, they romance it. So let's talk about it. Why is single-payer health care something to be concerned about, Jill?
Well, every other country, or as they say, every other developed country in the world has single-payer health care. And if we're working toward a one-world order, then the United States needs to go that direction as well, even though, and supporters of single-payer are just the same as supporters of so many other socialist policies, they somehow, I don't know how their brain synapses work, but somehow it makes sense to them to repeat a failed structure, just imitate a failed system. So I just don't understand how they reconcile that in their head. But that's what it is. So we're supposed to go along with the one world order thing, and therefore we're supposed to have single payer health care, even though it's failing everywhere else in the world. And they love big government, and they think that if they keep giving people, promising these utopian ideas, that they're going to stay in power and stay in office.
Well,
I can't think that there's anything else.
Well, and John Buckingham, Presidential Wealth Management, kind of hit on it, because this is something that I remember when you and I first started talking about this, that the UK, I mean, there's significant problems over there. Of course, those that are pushing the utopian single-payer health care, they're never honest about the whole big picture. I mean, if we really
exactly.
want to take a look at a policy, let's really kick the tires on everything. But they're not honest about it. And it goes back to, we talk all the time on the show about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. So if something is a really good idea, you don't have to use smoke and mirrors to make it pass. You know,
right.
but they talk about single-payer health care, but you know the effects. And John kind of mentioned it, but over in the UK, there's some tough stuff going on.
Right, right. And it's been going on for several years. The younger docs in the National Health Service were being required to work an extra day and a night or something than what they were already working. So if they were working 4 days, they had to work 5 days and an extra call. And then 5 days, they had to work 6 days. No extra pay, no extra benefits. And they went on strike. The idea that 98% of any workforce would vote to go on strike is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, their strike, went intermittently. I think they did 1 or 2 days a month that they were on strike. I mean, there was the thing that they were on strike, they were being abused. but they were still ethical. You know, it's like we still have patients to take care of. And the reason they were going on strike is because the patients were, the system that was set up was impairing patient care. And people, they said people are dying because of the National Health Service and the way they're running this. So, you know, and one of the other things that they never mentioned, oh, well, you know, the healthcare spending in the U.S. is so much higher. But, you know, I'm not sure how much they disclose, because our healthcare spending numbers are actually include advertising and overhead costs for the insurance companies and hospitals and all that. So it's kind of like, well, we have beautiful hospitals that have higher overhead. And that actually contributes to the healthcare spending numbers that our government accumulates. Yes. So, you know, that's really interesting, because if you have facilities that are worn out and dated, and plus the government may choose not to include those numbers in their government spending. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, there's not a set of rules about how you calculate it for each country. So each country gets to decide what their healthcare spending amounts are. So I honestly don't think it's that much. Plus, let's look at all of these countries that have, and the UK especially, they have a two-tiered system. So everybody may have access to this worse getting worse system, which forces them into a system of cash pay. Okay. But they don't talk about that. They also don't talk about the fact that the National Health Service and healthcare in all these other countries is paid for by a combination of higher income taxes, VAT taxes, higher sales taxes, those value-added tax things that almost all these countries have to help pay for this, as well as payroll deductions, which is like the hidden thing, and people have to pay premiums. So the premiums, let's say I only pay $30 a month for my Japanese national health care, and I get to go to a doctor as much as I want. Well, yeah, you get to go to a doctor in Japan. You see him for between 3 and 5 minutes because he has 99 other patients to see that day. And you don't get an appointment. You walk in there and you stand there and you get 3 minutes with a doctor. You're paying $30 premium every month that you know about. The problem is all the hidden costs that you're not paying any attention to and they're not telling you about.
Well, and you know what John mentioned was, you know, it takes you out of, you know, things that you want to do every day, whether it be working, spending time with your family. When you are sitting in a doctor's office waiting to see the doctor, and then you're just becoming a number, you don't have the doctor-patient relationship that I know, Jill, is so important to you. I mean, ultimately, you just kind of become a number. You just, so it becomes the haves and the have-nots. And the other thing you mentioned, it goes to cash pay. Well, how about if we have a system of cash pay for, you know, these, you know, sore throat or these different things, and then people would be able then to just buy something for catastrophic and get all of the PBIs out of that? Do you think that's a possibility? I know you've been back to Congress. I know you've talked to people about that.
Well, yeah, and that's always been the answer, and that's what it used to be. It used to be that. Major medical plans, you remember, when employers first started providing health insurance, that was a major medical health plan. So when we went to the doctor, when you're paying your own money, it's like you don't change the tires on your car every, you know, 100 miles because you're having to pay for it.
Right.
In medicine, it's easy to overutilize medicine, you know, the healthcare system. When you're paying a premium, it's like, hey, I paid the insurance, I'm going in to use it.
Right.
Of course, now everybody has such high deductibles, you never even use the insurance anymore.
Right.
But exactly. So that's what it should be. We have prepaid health care now. It should be catastrophic health care, pay cash for everything else. That being said, we have to break the system of insurance companies having charges, not insurance, but, you know, providers having this charge versus reimbursement by the insurance company's difference.
Okay.
So whatever they charge, they tend to charge huge amounts for some, let's say like an MRI.
Okay.
They may charge, put on their little charge sheet, $4,000, even though it, you know, please. The insurance companies reimburse them for $100.
Okay.
So what the charge is a fictitious number And we really have to address this. To me, this is the number one problem in our healthcare system, is this charge versus price, right? And especially right now where people have such high deductibles, because they're expected to pay that charge until their insurance kicks in, and in a lot of cases, not all of them, but in a lot of cases. So the charge is a fictitious number that's ridiculously inflated just in case somebody will pay it. Whereas the insurance companies are reimbursing typically one-tenth of that number, and that's a reasonable number. Private insurance holds up. Private insurance is the only thing that's propping up our healthcare system in this country. So if you don't mind if I go off on this Medicare for All thing for just a second.
That would be okay? Go ahead.
Oh, so when Elizabeth Warren or whatever Democrat is out there spouting this these days, Medicare for All is an absolute joke, and they know it. Either they know it and they're lying to us, or they're that stupid that they don't understand it. But Medicare, hospitals and providers, if they're lucky, they break even on Medicare patients. Medicare may pay more than their costs on some services.
Now, Medicare, not Medicaid. They may just break even on Medicare. Wow.
Medicare, they only break even. Medicaid, you always lose money. A Medicaid patient walks into your office and you are paying to see them.
Oh my gosh.
You are paying money to see a Medicaid patient. That's why doctors don't take it. They can only take so many Medicare patients because they have to have a profit in order to pay their people, have their lights on, pay their rent, and all that other stuff. So if you're only taking care of Medicare and Medicaid patients, you're out of business pretty quick. So
okay.
The only thing that keeps our healthcare system above ground and certainly at the quality, I mean, it's wonderful quality, is private insurance, period. And private insurance in most hospitals only accounts for about 30% of the patients. So some of these hospitals are running pretty tight. Now, you see new hospitals coming up and all these beautiful hospitals.
Right.
A lot of that is nonprofit money, believe it or not. And I just learned this not that long ago. Nonprofit institutions and healthcare companies have to spend the money every year, right? They have to or account for a distribution of their money. So they're building all these new hospitals. And somebody explained to me, yeah, a lot of times they're building these brand new ritzy hospitals and outpatient centers because they have to spend that money because they're nonprofit. So, you know, it's kind of the nonprofit versus profit doesn't mean that they're not being paid or they're not charging people or they're making less money. It just means it's a difference in how they have to handle what money they make. Does that make sense?
It does. And so, I've got a question. We're going to go to break. I've got a question for you regarding property taxes on hospitals. It triggers a thought with you. Triggered me, Jill.
I mean, I don't know about that. You may be in an area I don't know about.
So, hey, let's go to break. I am talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. Important conversation regarding single-payer health care. Lots of different names, Medicare for All, you know, this utopian idea, blah, blah, blah. As Steve says, it's a vote-buying scheme by PBIs. But let's go to break. I'm talking with Jill Vecchio. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. I have on the line with me Dr. Jill Vecchio. She read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act. And, of course, we see this drumbeat for single-payer health care. She's nailed it on a number of issues. Steve, you had something you wanted to comment on regarding what Jill had said in the last segment.
Well, I really perked up because we're going through some issues, me with a cardiology issue and my spouse with a GI issue. But this... you have your procedures done, and in a matter of a couple of days, you'll get that first statement from the service provider, and it's,
it takes your breath away.
Yeah, through the roof.
Scary.
Several days later, you'll get some type of communication, whether it be hard copy or an email, that says, well, wait a minute, here's what we're really going to pay. So, I mean, Jill is just hitting it dead on.
Well, and Jill, I think that in some ways it's almost political, because when people get that first bill, it puts the fear of God in them. They're like, how on earth could I pay this?
And right, how could anybody pay this? I have to have insurance.
Exactly. And so I think that it's somewhat related to, in a way, almost push this public policy.
Well, yeah, but it keeps the insurance companies in business because they make a ton of money, especially now, thanks to Obamacare. We now have all of these high deductible HSA policies, which are HSAs with an insurance policy is a great idea. If it's a catastrophic policy, the idea that you have to spend $8,000 of your own money before and then have like this total coverage of everything and therefore have a monstrously high premium because it then covers everything is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
What it needs to do is cover, after this certain amount when there's a catastrophic issue, then it covers. But, and the HSA... Now, what I do, Steve, and I'm telling everybody this, and I always tell them this, I don't care if you're going to use your insurance. I don't care how you're going to pay for your health care. Always ask. Before you leave that place, I want to know how much this is going to cost me, because I can guarantee you the doctors have no idea. They were trying to talk me into like a Pneumovax vaccine, right? Says, oh, no, it's probably a couple of $100. But, you're a doctor, so you don't mind paying all this money for stuff. But I said, no, I want to find out. You tell me how much this is. She came back in. She goes, oh, my God, I had no idea. It's $500.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, yeah, hello. Why don't you start looking up how much everything costs that you're trying to push on your patients? Because that's part of your responsibility, too. Sorry, the dog is barking.
Oh, that's...
So, yeah, I mean, it's infuriating. I've been seeing, I apologize.
No, not to worry.
Sorry, somebody's feeding the horses over here.
not a problem. Just a couple of comments on that. Jill, one of the things on this last legislative session, there was a forced vaccination bill. And, I vaccinated my kids. I think it's a good idea vaccinating against childhood diseases. But what we see with PBIs is they take something that is good, people perceive as good, and then they put those force words on there, mandate, regulate.
Yes.
And so some moms had reached out to me. I read the bill, and all of a sudden I read the bill, and I saw big danger. And that so here your doctor was recommending something that if you were forced to have to take it, it would be $500. There's something wrong with that, I think, just that whole force over on something that you could make your choice on whether or not you wanted that vaccination then, right?
And this whole, the approach to vaccinations, since Obamacare put the government in charge of vaccinations, of the distribution of vaccines.
Oh.
That right there to me is like, whoa, hold on. Now, have you ever heard of a shortage of a vaccine?
I have.
Until Obamacare. I had never heard of one.
Like the shingles, so the shingles
like
vaccine.
All of a sudden, yes. So it's now, but that's all been since Obamacare. So it's kind of, okay, hold on. The minute the government gets in charge of it, they've turned it into a limited resource. Like you mentioned earlier before I came on, you know, the quality goes down, the price goes up, and the availability of everything is limited. That's because when the government takes over any kind of service or product, it becomes a limited resource. So right now, healthcare is an unlimited resource. If you put it all in the hands of the government or a single payer, it then becomes a limited resource. Like Medicare is a limited resource. There's only so much money available. Medicaid is a limited resource. So they have to limit reimbursement and how much service is available to people. If one person uses a service, somebody else can't use it. Or if they use a dollar, somebody else can't use that dollar. So this whole thing with the vaccines, and it's kind of like, why are you forcing me to have a flu vaccine? You know, it's like why don't you just say, if you're sick, don't come to work.
there should be that option, I guess.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, so, but I can't practice medicine if I don't have a flu vaccine.
Right.
And even though the flu vaccine isn't 100%, because I got a flu, I probably got the flu every year, but it's from another coworker that came to work sick.
Uh-huh.
Even though you had the flu vaccine, it's only against that one strain, right?
Right.
So
right.
All you need is a mutation, and then it's not that particularly useful. But the minute somebody tells me I have to have it, you know, man, that just like puts my bristles up the backs, you know, the hair on the back of your head. So it's like I don't trust it anymore.
Well, and to that point, and again, we're talking about force and freedom. So if in fact your doctor says to you, we recommend this vaccine, and this is the reason why we think you'll get all these benefits, and there might be these risks over here. And you say, oh, gosh, that may make some sense. How much is it? And they say $500. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you know, once again, you're making your choice. And I did not realize that vaccines, that Obamacare took those over and put them in control of government as well.
Yeah.
Astounding. So,
yeah.
Jill, it's going way, way too quick. We've got probably about 4 minutes. What else today? And I'd love to have you on a monthly basis because I think this fight on single-payer health care is going to really ramp up, and people need to be informed about it. There's all kinds of nuggets of information that you've given us. What do you want to make sure that we cover before the end of the show?
Well, I think one of the things that people need to remember, you know, and I just have some basic, I'll just kind of review my basic little call sign stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, whoever pays gets to make the rules. So if you think you're somehow going to be benefited by somebody else making all the rules for you and telling you what you can have, when you can have it, how much of it you can have, and from whom you can have it. If you think that's a better thing, you really need to think again, because you're not going to want that. And that's what government-run healthcare is. Whoever pays gets to make the rules.
Okay.
If you think that insurance companies are terrible, wait till you're dealing with the government only. And the government is always going to be working through those insurance companies anyway to administer the programs.
Okay.
So you're not going to get rid of insurance companies. You're not. And they're still going to have their overhead. They're still going to have their administrative costs. And they're still going to be bureaucracy.
Okay.
It'll just be more. And then what we talked about, government creates limited resources from unlimited resources. If government took over cell phones, we'd all have an access to maybe one or two fairly rotten phones at a ridiculous price, and you'd probably have to stand in line to get it. If the government took over cell phones, so why do we want them to take over our health care?
Right, okay. Okay.
The charges versus reimbursement, I cannot emphasize that enough. Nobody talks about it. That is, in my opinion, that's why people go bankrupt, because they're expected to pay that charge. When they don't have health insurance, they're expected to pay that ridiculous charge amount. So in combination with that, always ask. I don't care how you're going to pay for any service you get, dentist or anything else, always ask them, how much is this?
Okay.
What are you going to charge for me? And if you have an HSA account, what discount can you give me? And if they say 30% discount, that's garbage. What they should be giving us all, but they don't, what they should be giving us if we're going to pay cash from our HSA is a 90% discount, and I'm not kidding.
Wow.
A 90% discount. I have had a lot of health care in the last 10 years, as you know. And I can tell you, I look at every one of those things that Steve was talking about. You get that little readout, this is not a bill, but this is what, you know, you just saved 90%, blah, blah, blah. I didn't save it. It didn't exist to begin with, because you guys are playing a game here to scare us. So, no, we need to push for And this is what you'd send us, send this out to Trump. He could send tweets out saying, why do insurance companies charge this much when they only get paid this much? And why don't they let people have that same discount? Let regular patients paying cash have the same discount. Can you imagine if Trump tweeted that out once a week? There would be a change in this country, I can tell you right now, without any legislation.
Okay, Jill. Well, we're going to get on it. This is just great information. Dr. Jill Vecchio, again, you said whoever pays gets to make the rules. Government creates limited resources from unlimited resources. And then this charge versus reimbursement. We need to get that in. And the one that really gets hurt on that is the everyday hardworking person that may have their own company, you know, the entrepreneurs. They're the ones that really get hurt on
right.
that, because they look at that and they're expected to pay. And so,
right.
Dr. Jill, thanks so much. Your final thought?
Let's see. Government single-payer health care isn't working anywhere else in the world. It's not. No matter what they tell you, it's not working anywhere.
So why on earth would we want to import it to the United States? So, Jill Vecchio, thank
exactly.
you so much. Wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care.
Okay,
bye,
thanks.
Steve.
Thanks so much. And our quote for today is William Osler, and he said, "The good physician treats the disease. The great physician treats the patient who has the disease." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.